The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Well, hello, America. Gee, is there anything going on? We should check the news, see if anything's happening. The one, the only, Lester Holt. Strangely, the president of his fanboy club, Lester Holt, had the president yesterday, and there's been a little confusion about what the story is. How is it playing? What does it mean? How does it affect your life? Why should we continue to talk about these things? We have some perspective on that. Also, in just about 60 minutes from now, Bill O'Reilly is going to be joining us. The first interview with Bill O'Reilly since he left Fox. We're going to talk about Comey and a lot more. We begin right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck program.
Oh, and there's a controversy brewing in Florida about a guy who was caught naked in the back of a boat with a shark doing things that men and sharks don't usually do.
I forgot, Jeffy, where did you have your house? Where was your house before?
And it strangely looks like Jeffy. Strangely looks like Jeffy. But there's a controversy. A couple of very famous people are seriously coming out and saying, that's not me. That is not me. One of them is the head of the Florida Gators, the coach of the Florida Gators. Who's the other guy? He's
Jimmy John's founder.
Jimmy John's founder. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, it does look like the Jimmy John's founder. I'm sure it's not, but it does look a little like the Jimmy John's founder. Bill O'Reilly coming up in an hour. Let's start with yesterday's interview with Lester Holt and the President of the United States. Listen.
He's a showboat. He's a grandstander. The FBI has been in turmoil. You know that.
We may not get very far on this. President Trump
is a showboat.
Wanted to get rid of him because he's a showboater and a grandstander. Let's just leave it at that and move on.
I know that. Everybody knows that. You take a look at the FBI a year ago. It was in virtual turmoil less than a year ago. It hasn't recovered from that.
Stop. I know people in the FBI. That is not true. If there was turmoil, it was because of the Obama administration giving dictates to law enforcement that was causing them to ignore things that they shouldn't be ignoring. The Comey is very well respected with the agents in the FBI.
And that
very
is
well
what
respected.
The sworn testimony yesterday was of the acting FBI director saying that's not true. The rank and file, you know, love this guy largely.
This guy really is the guy in shining armor. The FBI agents believe that this guy is a decent guy. They may not agree with everything he does, but they, generally speaking, believe he is a decent guy who is trying to do the right thing. All right, go ahead.
You met with the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein.
Right.
Did you ask for a recommendation?
What I did is I was going to fire Comey. My decision.
Stop. Notice he didn't answer yes. He slows down. I'm big in audio because I've been in tough interviews, and so I just know what you're thinking. Did you meet with him? What I did was, he's being very careful now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say yes. What I did was, I was going to fire him. My decision, I was going to fire him anyway.
Was not.
You had made the decision before they came in the room.
I was going to fire Comey. There's no good time to do it, by the way.
Because in your letter you said I accepted their recommendation.
Yeah, well,
so you
also
had already made the decision.
I was going to fire regardless of recommendation.
So there was really room.
He made a recommendation. He's highly respected. Very good guy. Very smart guy. The Democrats like him. The Republicans like him. He made a recommendation. But regardless of recommendation, I was going to fire Comey.
Let me ask you.
I absolutely believe that. I absolutely believe. Let me give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt here. I absolutely believe that's the truth. I do also believe that he asked Sessions and Rothstein. I believe that he asked them for those to back him up. So he had another reason to button up his case, but he wanted to fire him. I think the confusion comes from Donald Trump will just make the decision to do something, and if he's got his mind made up, he's going to do it. Let me put it this way. How many times in this company, when this company wasn't in line with my values or principles, okay, and you could say my values and principles were crazy, let's just say that, and I would say, we're going to do this, and everybody would say, yeah, we're going to do that, and it wouldn't, and then I would just get on the air. You know, this used to drive you nuts. Hey, we're going to Jerusalem, and we're going to do this show. When it was still being fought about behind the scenes, I just made the executive decision. I don't care what anybody says. We're going to rent Dallas Cowboys Stadium. We are going to Jerusalem and doing Restoring Courage, because I knew no one would have a choice anymore. We were spending all of our time spinning our wheels arguing. We're doing it. I think in some ways that's exactly the way Donald Trump, except I don't think he thinks about it. Like, I played it all the way that I could, and then I knew it's not going to be done unless I just say it. I don't think he thinks that way. I think he's just more impulsive, and he's like, I'm going to fire him. Can we have some other people? Sure. How about if we get Rothstein
Rosenstein. That's okay. What we're going to go with.
All right. We're going to go with Rosenstein. So we're going to get Rosenstein and Jeff Sessions to write that. Fine. He gets it. He's already there. He writes it. Now, others go out, and probably not even with him. I don't think he has the attention span to sit. I don't mean this in a bad way. He just doesn't. The attention span, nor does he care about what the press people are going to say, his press people. He thinks he's the only one that can handle it anyway. And so they're talking about, okay, so they leave his office. They're like, okay, so now how are we going to make this? Look, he did it because of this. He got the recommendations. It says that in the letter. So let's just stand on that. I think even if everybody believed that 3 days ago and Lester Holt did this, he still would have said this today.
Yes.
He would have still contradicted, because in his mind, that's the truth. He didn't care about that.
I made the decision.
Somebody else said maybe we should have those up. Good, I have those, and they recommend it. But I was going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think if there was no controversy and he was completely praised for this, he would have also said the same thing. And I think it's true.
Yeah, I don't think there's any calculation here on his part. He's made it worse because his people are spinning. And he may have been involved in that, I don't know. But his people are out there playing regular politics and spinning something that they know is horrible, and he doesn't care. He's just, I made the decision, period. And so he's either inadvertently or knowingly throwing his own people under the bus.
And all of his defenders, because all of his defenders were saying he had nothing to do with this. This was, you know, he just took the recommendation, and they're saying this for several days, and then he comes out and completely contradicts them.
Right. And that's why he creates a mess. He lives in the moment, and there's no thought of, well, what's the right thing to do? What's the right way to do it?
And there is a little bit of a focus on Trump and holding him to, I mean, like, it can be his decision, and he also acted upon the recommendation because the recommendation agreed with his decision.
Yes.
You know, so it's not a complete flip-flop. It's just that I don't know why the White House, and this is not even Trump per se, it's much more the surrogates, come out and try to justify the things that he does in some,
He should just have come out. If his surrogates came out, he should have picked up the phone, or he should have just, picked up the phone and gone to Twitter and just said, I want to make it clear. Yeah, I went off the recommendation, but I was going to fire him anyway. This was they backed up what I believed. And then this all would have been, it wouldn't have been fixed, but at least it would have been consistent. All right, let's go have more audio here.
About your termination letter to Mr. Comey, you write, I greatly appreciate you informing me on three separate occasions that I am not under investigation. Why did you put that in there?
Because he told me that. I mean, he told me
he
that.
He told you you weren't under investigation with regard to the Russia investigation?
I've heard that from others. I think
was it in a phone call?
Stop. Hear that little escape hatch? He told me that. You heard him say that? He said that to you three times? And I heard it from others.
Yeah, it looks like he's going down that road, but then he does double down.
All right, go ahead.
Meet face to face.
I had a dinner with him. He wanted to have dinner because he wanted to stay on. We had a very nice dinner at the White House very early on. A dinner was arranged. I think he asked for the dinner. And he wanted to stay on as the FBI head. And I said, I'll consider. We'll see what happens. But we had a very nice dinner. And at that time, he told me, you are not under investigation, which I knew anyway.
That was one meeting. First of all,
when you're under investigation, you're giving all sorts of documents and everything. I knew I wasn't under. And I heard it was stated at the committee, at some committee level, that I wasn't.
Stop.
Wait. He keeps going, though. You've got to let them finish.
Number one.
So that didn't come
directly
from him.
Then during the phone call, he said it. And then during another phone call, he said it. So he said it once at dinner. And then he said it twice during phone calls.
Did you call him?
In one case, I called him. In one case, he called me.
And did you ask, am I under investigation?
I actually asked him, yes. I said, if it's possible, would you let me know, am I under investigation?
I doubt that's the way that question is.
But he's given sworn testimony that there is an ongoing investigation into the Trump campaign and possible collusion with the Russian government. Right. You were the centerpiece of the Trump campaign.
Well,
so was he being truthful when he says you weren't under investigation?
I know that I'm not under investigation, me, personally. I'm not talking about campaigns. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm not under investigation.
He goes to the point where he's like, there's just so many investigations. I don't know. There's so many of them. I don't know, but I know it's not me. Okay. I mean, you can look at this in a million different ways. I think he's trying to... assert authority, right? I mean, don't tell me that I took a recommendation from this guy I hadn't heard about 24 hours ago, Rosenstein. I don't know. Who's that? I made the decision. It's me.
Oh, it's Rothstein.
No, it's not.
But go ahead. We're going to go with Rothstein.
We're with Rothstein now?
Yeah. I haven't heard of him up until 3 days ago either.
Exactly. So. That's not who Trump is. He doesn't take recommendations from some guy. He realizes that's a justification. He doesn't care if they're popular from Republicans or Democrats. If he does, he would have never been elected. Right? That's not the way he ran the campaign. That's not the way he acts in his life. Right? He doesn't care about those things. He realizes they came out and tried to put the best face they could on this. Because everyone in the White House knows that if Trump comes out and just fires some guy who's potentially investigating him, it's going to be a problem. So they came up with a good justification as to why. They gave a detailed one, and then Trump came out and blew it up.
He decides not to use it. That's not his.
And he doesn't.
Not his.
Yeah, there's no ramifications for it. He doesn't care.
Yeah. So we're gonna get into now Sarah Huckabee and Sean Spicer, because there's some intrigue happening there that I think is really interesting. And the Trump tweets today.
Yeah, the tweets are important. We should get to that.
Are really important. Mm-hmm. And is it in his tweets where he talks about maybe a written statement from here on out? No, that's a...
Yes.
Yes, he says... Yeah. No.
Okay,
you You have to hear this. You have to hear it all in context. It's quite an amazing statement today. I think those tweets come out when he's in the John. I think he's just sitting in the John and he's reading these tweets and he's like, you know what, I'm going to... So, you know... We get the potty talk. He's alone.
Yep, he's alone. He gets mad or happy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care.
I'm sorry. That may not be the case, but that's the way I always see him, because that's the way real people really are.
The first time you said that, when he was still living in New York, right? And and it was always 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, Eastern.
Yeah. Is he getting up? He's getting up. He's sitting on the John and he's reading about
whatever. He's drinking coffee. He's doing whatever. He's by himself. He's by himself. Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening.
You're listening
to the Glenn Beck Program.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
Bill O'Reilly, in his first interview since leaving Fox News, we're going to talk to him, just so you know in advance. We're going to, you know, I'm going to try to pry a few questions or a few answers out of him on, you know, him. But we have invited him to come on to talk about the news of the day. If, you know, very important voices are disappearing, and sure would like to hear differing points of view. And Bill has had lots of time, and I'm sure I will bet you like a rocket he is exploding inside watching the news and not having his hour show at night to be able to say, okay, this is what this means. So we have him on in just about 45 minutes or so. All right. Let me talk to you a little bit about Sarah Huckabee. She's been filling in for Sean Spicer. Do we have the audio of Sarah Huckabee we could play here real quick?
Was it a mistake for the White House to try to pin the decision to fire James Comey on Rod Rosenstein?
I don't think there was ever an attempt to pin the decision on the deputy of attorney general. Look, I think his recommendation, again, it was extremely clear. The president, though, makes the decision. The buck stops with him. Nobody's ever tried to say that this wasn't the president's decision, that he wasn't the one that carried it out. And to try to, I think, conflate those things is just not what took place.
How do you feel about that answer?
I mean, look, these people are in impossible positions, but, you know, that is absolutely what they said coming out. They definitely put they didn't pin it on them. He put it, I mean, he didn't pin it on them. He wrote a letter. I mean, he agreed with the decision, obviously.
Right. He didn't. At some level. It's not what he did say or what they did say. It's what they didn't say.
Yeah.
Nobody tried to do that. Well, when you leave out the fact that the president had already made up his mind, this was the last straw, that's important information. That's a lie of omission.
And it's also just emphasis, right? Like they emphasized the letter, and they didn't say initially that he had been thinking about it since the election day. They didn't say any of that. They added that in later. And, you know, reportedly, Rothstein was Rosenstein, whatever, that guy, he was upset.
Is there a rule, by the way, could I just break this down and ask, is there a rule on the I and the E, which one's a Stein and which one's a Steen? Because I never get that right.
I don't know. It's Rosenstein, by the way. That is his actual name. We just keep screwing it up. But Rosenstein, he, you know, there were reports that he was upset, that he was saying he might leave. The DOJ is saying that's not true. So we don't know exactly what the case is there. But point is, they definitely seem to take a different direction. It may very well have been Trump saw everyone saying, well, they just took the, you know, this guy, Rosenstein, just said he didn't want Comey, so Trump listened. And that annoyed Trump. That actually, taking the decision-making ability out of him.
I agree with you on that.
It may very well have been him. That was annoying him, and that's why he came out and has pushed the other way and now disagreed publicly with it.
Right.
So I don't think that it's a, it necessarily is a.
It's a lie of omission. Now,
here's
what I wanted to get to, and now we're running out of time, so I'll get to it on the other side. What happened to Sean Spicer this week? I think there was a message being sent to Sean Spicer this week by somebody, I don't know who, to fall into line. He's been gone. He's been serving in the National Guard or the Reserve. He's supposed to be gone for 2 weeks. Well, he's back, like, right now. And it's interesting how this all came out to play. We'll go there next.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
All right, I want to talk to you a little bit here, and then we got to get to the tweets on Comey. This isn't going well for anybody right now. Sean Spicer is probably one of the only guys where it's kind of working out for him. Earlier this week, I read a story that looked like... Now, I want you to know, I can be a little more open now about the things that I saw at Fox because it's out, and so I can verify some of the things. I don't know any of the really bad things that went on, but I do know some character things that made me very uneasy.
One of the things that I do know is that when I was at Fox, it was very clear that those at the top liked to pit people against each other. And the philosophy was, I believe, that when talent is pitted against each other, and when they are in somebody's trying to stab you in the back mode, they'll do a better job. And so they liked all the shows competing against each other. I never played that game. It bothered me deeply. You know, I'm a team player. Let's play on the same team. And I strongly disagree with it. As a guy who's worked in radio forever and I don't respond to negative encouragement, it really bothered me. Well, as I read this about Sean Spicer, it said that Sean Spicer, they were using this time of him away to see, because there were questions about him and his performance in the White House. Well, first of all, he's out serving his country. He's still in the reserve, and he goes out and he spends a couple of weeks as required by law. And so he's on reserve duty. So it's not like he's just out. And the first kind of spin on this were some insiders of the White House that said, you know, he's gone and it's good timing because they really need to, you know, work out some things with Sean. And we're going to try Sarah Huckabee. And then it was all about Sarah Huckabee. I know, because I've worked in television, especially with women, when somebody would go on vacation, they would put somebody else in, and especially with women, it was usually somebody younger and spirit, and they'd put that person in, and then they would say, oh yeah, they're on vacation, but boy, isn't she doing a great job? And that was a message to the person on vacation. You're replaceable. I own you. Play ball with me. Okay? I think somebody was sending a message to Sean Spicer. Now, maybe they're not happy with his work. I don't know how you could... I mean, I don't know what you expect from people who have to go out there and have no clue as to what they're, what you're to do and how to defend. But Sean Spicer, I don't think somebody in the White House was happy. Then the next day, we saw that, what's his name, the lunatic guy?
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. He tweets or something. What was it?
Tweets and wrote a story on his website.
Okay, that Sean Spicer may be on the way out. He'll be fired in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, it said White House sources confirm he's gone in the next week.
Okay. That's very Breitbart. That's very Steve Bannon. I would say that it's very Roger Ailes, but it's very Steve Bannon. That's the way that happens. Okay. And sometimes it's not about being fired. It's about putting your thumb on top of them so you're in control. Well, here's why this is interesting and why I didn't bring it up 2 days ago. Sean Spicer is on his way back to the White House. And now everybody is questioning Sarah Huckabee. And now the roles have reversed. And when you're looking at Sean Spicer as the hero to rush in to save the day like Mighty Mouse, that shows how would you phrase this? How thin the bench is? It's not a deep bench for going out and being the press secretary for this White House. Now, here is a very disturbing tweet that is a threat, and I hope that it is. Well, it has to stand on its own. There's no two ways to read it. Anybody who threatens this, you have to take seriously. Listen to what Donald Trump has tweeted today.
He said, as a very active president with lots of things happening, it's not possible for my surrogates to stand at the podium with perfect accuracy. Maybe the best thing to do would be to cancel all future press briefings and hand out written responses for the sake of accuracy, which is something, as Jeffy will tell you over and over again, he's predicted from the beginning.
Jeffy has predicted?
I'm surprised it has still going on.
Yeah, when they first had the first
pull the plug.
Well, when he said this is why I have to take this seriously. Remember when they said they just spent all that money? They tore up the West Wing during Obama for other things that I think they put underground. Usually the stuff above ground is not what that's not the big deal at the White House. I think they did some things deep underground in the West Wing, but on top of it, they built the new press wing. And you remember when Donald Trump first came in, he said, I'm moving him to the executive off to the executive mansion, which is outside the fence. Okay, it's in another building. It's next door, but it's another building. And when he said that, I thought, holy cow, this guy, there's going to be no oversight from the press. If he's moving the press into another building, that's intense. So I got to take him seriously that he would do these
Heck
things.
Yeah.
And it's a warning shot. Oh, really? You want to give my people a hard time because they don't know everything that's going on? Good. I'll alert you with a letter from time to time.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
Now, of course, one of the main issues here is the letter. The letters that he released that were written are the problem in this particular circumstance, or at least part of the problem.
Well, the real problem here is, you remember when Barack Obama used to say, any room I'm in? You remember that quote that he said? I wish I could remember where it was from, because this is the kind of stuff the press always says. Oh, he never said that. Yeah, he did. Now, this is butchering it, but basically he said, whatever room I'm in, I'm the best counselor there. I'm the best at PR. I'm the best at foreign policy.
I think that was a quote from Valerie Jarrett, I think.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Mm-hmm. He's the best. He has a hard time. It's hard being him. Whenever he's in the room, he's the best at whatever it is. Well, no, you're not. And that's the problem with this president. He is saying this. He actually believes he is the expert on everything.
He's smarter than the generals. Now, it's funny because the press certainly has bashed Donald Trump for that attitude and never bashed Barack Obama for that attitude, which was stated by his closest advisor.
Correct.
But
that's because the head of, what was it, Time or Newsweek actually came out and said he's above it all. He's almost a god.
Yeah. So again, here's the tweets. As a very active president, a lot of things happening. It's not possible for my surrogates to stand at a podium with perfect accuracy. Maybe the best thing to do would be to cancel all future press briefings and hand out written responses for the sake of accuracy. James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversations before he starts leaking to the press.
Unbelievable. Now he's threatening James Comey. I mean, why would you do that? And wait, are you now saying that there are tapes? I got news for you, President Trump. You better hope that there's no tapes going on in the White House, because I can guarantee you that there are some conversations happening someplace in the White House, you know, whether you're involved or not involved, that you wouldn't want on tape either, knowing some of the people that are around. You know, this is that's a Watergate threat. That's crazy.
It's interesting. I mean, I guess what you would take from that is, if he's so confident that there are tapes of it, then he must have said it. He must have actually said there's no investigation. Your mind automatically jumps there. Maybe that's why he's saying it.
Well, hang on just a second. Yes. And isn't that exactly what this started with? That what he started with? Remember, the surrogates were told, hey, there was these connections. There's no connections. There's no connections. None of these guys have connections. Yeah, well, he said it, and there's a transcript. Do you remember? The intel, I don't remember exactly what it was called, but the intel transcript proves it. And what they, because remember, we did a chalkboard on this, and I laid that all out, and I said, that's very specific language that anybody knows. I don't remember the exact marking of it, but what it was saying was, we have a tape of that conversation.
Yeah.
And so he's now playing it in reverse. He's now saying to Comey, oh, yeah, remember when you told me there might be a tape? Guess who also might have a tape? Fascinating. The cloak and dagger here is just unbelievably agonizing, because we are so much better than this. We deserve much better than this. Our country needs much better than this. We don't have the time for people in the media and in Washington and in the White House to act like children. And it would be easy to defend a side if one side wasn't trying to make us believe unbelievable lies and the other side hadn't been saying hashtag fire Comey 2 minutes before he was fired. Will someone stand up and just be an adult and say, I just want somebody to walk into the bedroom of America and say, I don't care who started it. Both of you in bed, turn off the light, go to sleep. That's what I just want. I want an adult to walk in to the media, the Democrats and the Republicans and say, I don't care. I don't care if your sister hit you. I don't care if your sister punched you in the face. I don't care if she started it. It just doesn't justify what you just did. And little miss, don't you be sitting over there smiling because I haven't even started on you. You don't punch your brother. I mean, that's what has to happen.
It sounded eerily familiar.
It did. It's amazing for a country that has, what, 200 million adults who do stuff like that every single day, that we can't find one as a leader to do that. Back in just a second, Simply Safe. By the way, Bill O'Reilly is joining us in about 20 minutes from now. His first interview since leaving Fox. I want you to know up front, because I do not want to be accused of doing a softball interview. This is not what he's on for. I am going to ask him some questions, but that's not what he's on for. He has said to me, I've asked him for that interview. He said, when it's time, we can talk about it, but it's not time now. So I want you to know that I am going to address a few things, but that's not what this is. First time since leaving Fox, we'll get his opinion on what's happening in the world and hopefully also find out some things about, what's been happening in his life and what it's like to be Bill O'Reilly today.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
I want to tell you something that's going on. Mercury One has partnered with Folds of Honor, and then we started this last Saturday, a group of volunteers from Milestone Electric and Mercury One committed to raising $1 million to give educational scholarships to children and spouses of all those who have fallen or disabled as a result of serving America. My staff at Mercury One, as well as the volunteers from Milestone Electric, are continuing to stand in place downtown Dallas day and night until they fund those 200 scholarships. We're up to $750,000. We'd like, divorce papers are going to start being filed here soon. We'd like to get up to $1 million. We can do this. Go to mercuryone.org/stand. We have funded 114 kids for their scholarships. These are from parents who died serving. So it's to stabilize their family and make sure their kids have an education. Go to mercuryone.org/stand or directly to Stand to Honor. That's T-O, standtohonor.org. These are amazing volunteers that are standing literally in the plaster footprints of the boots of men and women who served and died. And they're standing downtown in Dallas at the plaza. And we sure would like your assistance. And I know they are getting tired, but these volunteers are swapping out every few minutes to be able to give somebody a rest. And they are not leaving until every single child that they promised a scholarship to is covered. And we would love your help. Go to mercuryone.org/stand or standtohonor.org. mercuryone.org/stand and help us honor these veterans in the best way, making sure that we are there to shepherd their family and their children so their children enjoy the freedom and have the opportunities that they deserve.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
James Comey, Donald Trump. We've been talking about that in the last hour. We're going to talk about it this hour as well. but we're going to take it in a different way. There's a lot of voices that are falling silent right now that have shepherded a lot of people over the last few years and the last few decades. Yesterday we found out Last Man Standing, Tim Allen, good ratings on ABC, was expected to be renewed, down 5%, but the other returning shows were down 20 to 30%. ABC still hasn't come up with a decent explanation on why was that show canceled. It leads to conspiracies that, you know, well, they just don't want any Christian, you know, right-wing people on. I hope that's not true. I don't believe that. I hope that's not true. But yet another one that reflects our point of view and position is now off mainstream media. Another one, and a lot of people have opinions, but very few people have facts. A man I believe to be true is Bill O'Reilly, a voice that has been heard for 20 years. I can't imagine being Bill O'Reilly and watching the news and not being able to go onto a platform. How many times he must scream, "What are you doing? What are you thinking? You asked this question. Why isn't anybody saying this?" He's only been heard on his podcast at BillO'Reilly.com. This is his first interview since leaving Fox. We begin with Bill O'Reilly, his story and the news of the day right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah. I really want to start. We used to see if we could get Tim Allen on because there's something weird going on with this Last Man Standing being canceled. And maybe it's just me, but it doesn't help when the media is in such disarray and there's so much distrust. ABC didn't do itself a favor by canceling a show that had much better ratings than some of the other shows that they brought on. I want to say before we get on, Bill O'Reilly is a friend of mine. I worked with Bill O'Reilly. We've talked about it several times on this program. I work closely enough with Bill on tours in particular, where there's not a single person on my staff, and we probably had, 20 people traveling with us, not a single person on my staff at any time ever saw anything inappropriate or anything with Bill O'Reilly. In fact, the thing on Bill was he was so buttoned up. He was always on time. He always hit his marks. He kept to himself and it was always like 1950s polite. So I happen to believe that he was gravely wronged, but that's not what this interview is about. I am going to ask him some of these questions. But we're not getting into it because I want to talk to him about the news of the day. Bill O'Reilly, a voice that has been silenced in America, speaks now on national radio for the first time since he's left Fox News Channel. And by the way, you can hear him at BillO'Reilly.com on his podcast. Bill, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me in. I appreciate it.
So I'm not going to get into everything. I just would like to know what the hell happened. I mean, tell us, you know.
Look, this was a hit, and in the weeks to come, we're going to be able to explain some of it, and it has to do with destroying voices that the far left and the organized left-wing cabal doesn't like. So that's the general tone. Now, I can't get specific because there's a lot of legality here.
So is this, can I ask you this, is this something you're going to come on and explain, or is this something that when you say there's a lot of legality here, that it will be explained possibly in other venues?
Both. There's going to be an exposition soon, but I can't tell you when, about what exactly this crew that goes in and terrorizes sponsors, that threatens people behind the scenes, that pays people to say things, we're going to name them, and it's going to be a big, big story. The story will be downplayed by the left-wing media, but you guys like you and talk radio and the internet will get it. It's coming. And unfortunately, I was target number one, and it's sad. It's sad for me. It's sad for my family. It's grossly dishonest. I did what I thought I had to do to protect my family, but those days are over. From now on, when I'm attacked, I'm going to take action, mostly legal action. But it's not going to happen anymore to me. But it is out there, and I'll point you to an article that was very, very seldom seen this week about nine corporations, big corporations, that are now being targeted by organized left-wing groups funded by George Soros because they allegedly are profiting from President Trump's immigration stance. You can Google the article, and it is that gives you your roadmap.
Bill, I don't remember.
Is putting up big money.
I don't remember when I was at Fox, because I did, as you remember, I did George Soros, the puppet master, because we had received what we felt was a serious threat to life from one of George Soros's intimate surrogates.
And well, you remember a few years ago that after Brian Williams got hammered.
Yes.
For then the Mother Jones outfit came after me and said I did the same thing.
Right.
Okay. I was protected by Fox News at that point, and it was all bull. It was just a lie. And, you know, we fought it hand to hand. But now it's ramped up since President Trump was elected. It's ramped up to a place where I think this is going to become a major story in the next 6 months.
So I wrote to you. We exchanged emails. You were in Rome, and you were coming home, and you left the, you know, you had just been with the Pope and got on a plane, and the impression I got from the email was it's all gonna blow over, and it's gonna be tough, but you know, it's all fine. How did you hear about you not being you being let go by Fox?
My attorneys told me, and we were all shocked, but I'm not going to say any more than that, because I had 20 good years at FNC, and, you know, we were caught by surprise, but look, it's their prerogative. They can do whatever they want. They run the company, and they own the company, and so if that's what they felt was best for the company, I'm not going to hammer that.
I was thinking about writing a new book called Killing O'Reilly.
Yeah, well, I did. You know, they being not the company so much, but
well, that's your opinion.
When you have organized people being paid to demonstrate outside of your headquarters and all of that, yeah. I mean, you know, it's intense. So I got to do this methodically. I've got to do it in a way that we don't make any mistakes, and we will.
So just a couple more things. You didn't have a chance to do a last episode. If you were going to do a last episode, Bill, what would you have wanted to leave the viewer with? What would you have said?
Nothing.
I don't because mean about that.
It was so complicated.
No. I don't mean about that. About the situation. I mean, what would your words to have been to people who watched you for two decades?
Oh. Well, look, I mean, I put a statement up on BillO'Reilly.com, and we, you know, had a very strong bond, as you do with your listeners and viewers. We had that same bond. And people were very, very sad when that happened. And I felt very bad for not only me and people close to me and my staff, but for the viewers and listeners, because they don't understand what happened. I mean, you hear all this stuff, and yeah, people know that the left-wing media hates Fox News and hates me. I mean, that's been 20 years. They know that, but they don't know the extent of it. And I just couldn't at that point lay it out. I can't at this point lay it out. I just have to wait and we're accumulating information, and hopefully someday it'll all be clear. And
but something is coming out.
I trust the audience's instincts because they've been with me for so long.
Yeah. Last question on this. I got up the next day, I think it was on the weekend after you had been let go, and I think it was in the Guardian. I saw this, and because part of the reason I moved down to Texas was what was happening to my family. And so I see anybody. I mean, if I would see Michael Moore, if I don't even know if he has kids, a man I really don't like, if I saw him with his kids and it was tough, I would feel great empathy because I've had it happen with my kids on the street. I saw a picture of you and your son. You were like going to a Walmart or something the next day. And I thought to myself, what a horrible situation for you to have this with your children. How are your kids dealing with this? How's your son?
I never talk about them, and I'm not going to now. I will tell you that the press in certain precincts is vicious and evil as it gets. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, I'm going to take a quick break. BillO'Reilly.com, BillO'Reilly.com, where you can join his podcast and hear him and his take on the news. This is the first time many people in America have heard Bill's voice since he left Fox. So we're going to start with the news of the day and what happened yesterday with Lester Holt and NBC with Donald Trump and the Comey firing. Get his view on that and so much more when we come back. BillO'Reilly.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
From BillO'Reilly.com, where he has his daily podcast, first interview with Bill O'Reilly since he left Fox News. Welcome back to the program, Bill. I'm guessing that some of your time has been spent yelling at the television like I do when incompetent anchors are giving their opinion on the news. Let's hear what you've been saying privately about, let's start with James Comey. Fired on Tuesday. You saw, I'm sure, the interview last night. Where do you want to begin?
Let's begin with the fact, and this is a fact, that in American journalism right now, very few are seeking the truth. It's not what the press is doing. They don't seek the facts to back up what really happened. What they do, particularly in the newspapers and on cable television, is come up with a scenario and then try to reinforce that scenario. All right. So James Comey is fired by President Trump. The reason he was fired, and I know this to be a fact, is because Trump does not trust him. It's as simple as that. Donald Trump does not trust James Comey.
Agree.
Why? Okay? Three reasons. Number one, he doesn't like the fact that Comey is unpredictable. Don't know what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. Now, that might be a compliment to Comey. All right? He's unpredictable. Number two, that Comey would not aggressively investigate the leaks that have plagued the Trump administration since he was inaugurated. He is not, well, he's gone now, but he was not investigating those leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Russia. President Trump is crazed about it, emotionally involved with it, okay? He believes that from the beginning, his enemies in the press and in the Democratic Party have used the Russia thing to delegitimize his victory. So he's very emotionally and tightly wound about Russia. All right? He did not trust Comey to do an honest investigation about Russia. Those are the three reasons that Comey was fired.
Okay, so I agree with you on all of them. And I agree with the idea that he doesn't trust him and he wanted to fire him and was going to fire him. Because he doesn't trust him because of the wiretap thing, he wouldn't back him up on the wiretap. He is not going into the leaks, who I think is Susan Rice. And he finds that abhorrent, but he also doesn't like the fact that on Monday he said under oath, it makes me a little bit squeamish that I may have affected the election. I think Donald Trump interpreted that as, you know, I didn't want him to win, instead of I'm squeamish that I had any effect in one way or another.
Nah, it just reinforced it. It wasn't a primary mover. Look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Trump administration always makes mistakes by being undisciplined. All right? So Trump wanted Comey out, and he probably wanted him out from the jump, from the time he was sworn in. But he was
waiting. Why did he praise him so hard? At the beginning.
That's what he always does. Everybody's terrific. Everybody's excellent. Everybody's doing a great job. That's his way. All right. He tries to get people over on his side by doing that. He flatters them and he wants to convince them that, you know, they should be loyal to him. He didn't see any good response from Comey. So personally, he just said, well, we got to get rid of this guy. But the messaging is always the problem with the Trump White House. They don't have strong people dealing with the press. I mean, I think the Huckabee's daughter is much stronger than Spicer. Spicer's just weak. And the president himself sends muddled messages all the time. For example, he asked the Justice Department to evaluate Comey. Now, that's a legitimate request from a president. It's a legitimate request. Okay, look, I need to know your opinion on the FBI director. Okay. So the assistant attorney general, because Sessions is recused, comes back and says he's a screw-up. All right? He did things in the Hillary Clinton email investigation that were unprofessional and made the Bureau look bad. So that's an honest assessment, I think, because the guy was confirmed by all the Democrats. He's not an ideologue, the assistant attorney general. Okay? So Trump has that. But then they put out, well, that's the reason we're getting rid of Comey, but it wasn't the real reason. You see? So if Trump had just stayed on message and just said in the beginning, I just don't trust him.
Okay,
he lost my confidence.
So let me start there. I got to take a quick break and then let me start there. So is that a problem of Donald Trump? Is that a problem of the White House and all of the leaks that are coming out? What does that tell you? And we'll go there. Back with Bill O'Reilly from BillO'Reilly.com next.
The Glenn Beck Program. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I got a young talent on the phone that you might have heard of. Used to work at the Fox News Network. First interview since leaving there. Had him on a few minutes ago. He's sounding crazy about some damn George Soros conspiracy, but whatever. That's what he does. I'll try to keep him in line. It's Bill O'Reilly. Hello, Bill.
Wait a minute. You egged me on saying that Soros did the same thing to you.
No, I don't remember that.
No,
you're bringing these crazy conspiracies, and you know,
you're so out of your mind.
I'm in the fact business. I don't want to get into these crazy conspiracies.
Okay. I want to tell all your listeners who just joined us that we are posting the entire interview on BillO'Reilly.com and on The Blaze, so they can see just how nakedly
accurate I am. So anyway, Bill, let's go here. You said something about, you know, the press isn't looking for truth. And I think you're exactly right. And the clearest case, but I want you to listen to the whole part here. The clearest case is no one is pointing out that James Comey was the biggest enemy of the left up until the minute Donald Trump fired him. They were running a hashtag fire Comey campaign. The people at Colbert didn't even know how to react. They cheered when they said he was fired. And Colbert had to kind of go back and explain, no, you don't understand.
Right.
So there was no coverage of that. However,
well, you expect the pundits and the comedians and the people who are making money on ideology to do these kinds of things. What you don't expect, all right, and what is an absolute scandal, is that the straight press, the journalists, the hard news reporters, okay, they now are devoting most of their time to trying to destroy Donald Trump. And it's not even debatable. That's what they're doing. So here's the best example. They've conjured up this deal that Trump himself ordered his campaign staff to collude with Putin and the Russians to destroy Hillary Clinton's campaign. That's what...
Wait. I haven't heard any credible person in the news say that. What credible...
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard any...
Oh, yeah. That is the insinuation on every hour, on the hour, on MSNBC and CNN, that Trump himself is under investigation. Trump himself was involved with this collusion with the hackers. Of course, this is what it is. We need an independent prosecutor. Did you miss that, Beck?
No, but I think find out
that Trump was just like Richard Nixon. Exactly. He is weaving this big conspiracy, okay, firing Comey so Comey was too close to linking Trump to the Russians. This is what it's all about. You must know that.
No, I look at it slightly differently. I think that they believe that there were people in the campaign that were Flynn, that were dirty and doing things. What's his name? The guy who was the campaign manager.
I can't believe you've turned into Little Bo Peep. You are Little Bo Peep. Did you not hear Dan Rather this week go, he's covering up something?
Nobody's listening to Dan Rather.
Did you not hear Carl Bernstein of the...
Did you not also hear Carl Bernstein lecture the press in that same speech at the White House press dinner? That you can't just go with what you think. You actually have to have the facts to back it up.
He
lectured the press.
CNN and says that Trump is Nixon and covering up all of this stuff, that he's involved in it. Listen, I'm telling you, if you sit down there with a notepad, you will find hour after hour after hour, this is the insinuation,
so,
not only by the cable news networks, so, but by the big... liberal newspaper.
So here's where I am on this, Bill, and I'd love your perspective on this. I think most of everything that you believe about the press, I've worked in major news like you have for, you know, however long you've worked, 400 years, maybe longer. I've been around it enough to know there's no intellectual curiosity. There's no real intellectual honesty in most cases. They're just dead inside. They've got an agenda. Whether they know it or not, it's just groupthink, and they're just going that way.
They know it. They hate him.
Oh, I know that. However,
and by extension, anybody who gives Trump a fair play, anybody, is going to be attacked as well. And look.
Okay. So wait. Let me finish, because the rest of that statement that I wanted to start with is, I am with, you know, the press is, they don't get it.
They get it. They're doing it on purpose.
Okay.
I can't believe you're a Little Bo Peep. How many sheep do you have in the studio right now?
Oh my gosh. Here's the other side. If you want to make progress, somebody on the left in the press needs to say, are you kidding me? Fire Comey. Are you kidding me? You can't. I'm sorry, Chuck Schumer and Hillary Clinton and everybody else. You can't have it that way. But then somebody on the right needs to say, come on, man. Donald Trump is out of control with his spins, with his lies, with his fabrications. I mean, it's just, it's crazy what the man says a lot of the time.
Well, you say that, Beck. Right?
I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much alone.
So there's your voice. I don't consider you a rabid right winger. I mean, I think you're an independent thinker. But you say it. And there have been other people, Krauthammer. I mean, he doesn't have much use for the president. But I come, look, what I'm trying to tell you is that there's this monolithic, and I mean, and very powerful industry that's developed to get Trump out of office.
I agree with that.
Period.
I agree with that. But there was also the same thing with Barack Obama. I don't think it was orchestrated. No, hang on just a second. I don't think it was.
Not even close.
I don't think it was orchestrated. Remember, I'm the guy who did, you know, your crazy conspiracy. George Soros, he's great. I love him. Anyway, you know, I was on the George Soros and the Tides Foundation. That's very well laid out and very brilliant the way that thing is put together. We don't have that on the right. And so it's much more of an organic kind of thing. There was a big movement among the people to say, this guy is out of control. It didn't reach the levels like it does with the left because color of change, media matters, all of that. That's what they do for a living.
But it doesn't really matter in the sense that the folks can make up their own mind.
Yes.
There isn't any filter or any dishonesty in you giving your opinion about President Trump. I'm not offended by that.
Right.
I may disagree with it somewhat. But you give your opinion, and others on the right do as well.
Yes,
they, you know, okay?
But they don't but they don't like
some balance.
Yes,
on the right, as far as Trump is concerned, some like him, some don't. But on the left, you don't get any of that. What you get is we're gonna take him out. All right, and here's what we're gonna take advantage of every single thing to take him out.
Okay,
you know, Maxine Waters is the only one who's honest enough to say that. And she runs around the country saying, well, we're going to impeach him, or we're going to get him out of office, or he's this, he's that. I mean, that's what the New York Times wants to do.
I don't think I'm helping Bill O'Reilly's blood pressure.
Doing.
I don't think I'm helping your blood pressure. I don't think this is. I don't think I'm a calming force on you right now, Bill. I really don't.
I don't need a calming force. I'm happy the way I am, unfettered.
So let me ask you this. When it comes to the White House and the leaks that are going on and the back and forth of the press and the stories, where does that buck stop? Is that Donald Trump? Is that his people doing him a disservice?
Who knows?
What is that?
Look, here's the best example. The big story earlier this week was that Comey was fired because he wouldn't give in to Trump when Trump pressured him to stop the Russian investigation. That's all you heard. And then McCabe, the second in command, comes into the Senate and goes, oh, that's not true. Comey didn't go to the White House and ask for any money. He didn't ask for any money at the White House. We don't do that. We come to Congress to ask for money. Plus, we have enough money. We have plenty of money to investigate Russia. And we got all kinds of agents all over it. So that phony, dishonest, garbage story that was peddled by the major newspapers and all the cables, okay, was blown out of the water by McCabe, all right, who's a Democrat, whose wife ran for office as a Democrat. Blown out of the water. Oh, okay, so another phony story down the drain, we'll just find another one. Here we go. Come on, Beck, you got to see it. You got to see how damaging it is to the country. And I'm not sticking up for Trump here as a person or a president. I'm just saying this
Billy,
kind of dishonesty in the media is harming this nation.
I am with you 100% on the damage that the left is doing right now. The media, what they're doing is inexcusable. And I've been trying to reach out to them and they don't. It's obvious to me that they don't actually want an answer because I can help show them where they're disconnecting from the. They don't want to know. They don't want to know. They know, and they are happy with the way they are. They think they're right. So,
and they don't like you, Beck.
Yeah, I know that. I didn't ever expect
they don't
them
like
to.
You.
I know that.
They don't like anything about you. They don't like your haircut. They don't like the sweaters that you wear.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
They don't like the blaze.
I mean,
they don't
I
like the radio show. Okay.
I don't.
And luckily,
you're not helping my blood pressure.
A compliment here.
Yeah.
Beck doesn't work for anybody but himself. And he was smart to do that. It's because the left now can't get Beck because Beck controls his own destiny. Unlike me, I had to deal with a whole bunch of other things when they came after me. And people should know that you were, that you can say and do what you want to do because you control, Glenn Beck controls his own destiny, which is very different from most other people in the media.
Well, I thank you for that, Bill, and I would like to say publicly, honestly, and I know you're not going to get into this, so just shut the fat trap. It's why I would like you to work for The Blaze, because I could not get the cable coverage by myself, because not powerful enough, unless you have a giant corporation behind you. And when you have that, then you're beholden to somebody. But if we could unite our powers for good as opposed to evil, but that's another conversation.
We offer minimum wage and
yes.
no benefits.
I mean, I pay you in sandwiches like you can't believe, but that's a different that's a different story.
Is you there anything nice about my books? I could
no,
use
I don't.
That.
No,
okay.
No, all right.
Now, if you
I tell you what. What do you think about this? I'm serious. I'm serious about a new book.
Killing O'Reilly.
Okay. Calling Killing O'Reilly. It'll put in your crazy conspiracy stuff about George Soros.
I can't believe this guy.
But it will also
is absolutely true because he went through it and now he has to mock me.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
The left-wing press does.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I think he's
you're
great.
You're an old school guy. George, I know you haven't read Old School Life in the Sane Lane. I know you haven't read it, okay? Because your concentration span is about 15 seconds.
Right. Okay? What are you talking about?
But Old School Life in the Sane Lane, perfect for an old school mom, grandmom, or on Father's Day, whatever.
So,
and then Killing the Rising Sun, one of the best war books you will ever read.
I read that one.
Celebrating the heroism of Americans in the Pacific.
Yeah, I read that one. That one's really good. You'll learn a
did
lot
you really
from
really read it?
I really did.
Thank you.
Don't push
very
me on
nice
it because I didn't read a
odds
word of
him
it.
Reading that 100% Bill are very slim.
No, I read that one. That is really good. Really good. Now, Bill.
Yes.
Again, I'm thinking about writing Killing O'Reilly, and it would tell some of the things, you know, that happened behind the scenes there, you know, at FNC about, you know, things that, you know. I'm just saying, you know, you could.
Come on.
We could just jump in on that together, and it would be the story, the war story.
I'm not going to do it. I just don't think it's the right thing to do. What I want to do down the road is
lots of
tell
cash,
the truth
Bill.
About
this will get him
about
lots of cash, lots of cash.
It doesn't matter. I don't. You can't. I mean,
oh come on! How long can you live on that $25 million settlement? Seriously.
Yeah, and see, I mean, why
that's
would you
crazy.
Take that seriously? Why would you take anything that's printed in the media seriously? Why would you believe it when you know? They'll throw anything in there. They'll say anything. They'll print anything.
So wait a minute. Are you saying, are you saying, because you had you just signed a $100 million contract.
I mean, again, how would you possibly know that? I mean,
well,
nobody
that one
knows
I happen
that.
To know. I mean,
do not. Beck, you're paying me in sandwiches. And
so listen, what I'm saying is, did you get more or less than 25?
Yeah.
Because if you got more, can I borrow some?
Yeah.
Because I want to hire somebody.
Back. You know, money will corrupt you.
All right. Okay. Bill O'Reilly, great to have you. BillO'Reilly.com. Sign up for his podcast, buy his books, blah, 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 blah. BillO'Reilly.com. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. Talk to you again.
All right, Glenn.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
No, I'm sorry to say it, Jeffy. I got more out of that interview than Lester Holt's
now
interview with the president.
Now you've gone too far.
Just reviewing that in my head, that was an unbelievable interview with
Bill
O'Reilly.
Yes, it was. Lester Holt got O.
We'll go into, in case you missed it, what Bill said, and also the Lester Holt interview with the president. And it's Friday. I want to hear from you. Phones are wide open next hour, 888-727-BECK. Call us right now.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Welcome to the program. Friday, lot going on. Just had an amazing interview with Bill O'Reilly. Talked about the Comey Trump situation if you missed it. Hour number two in the podcast. Go to glennbeck.com or theblaze.com. Also, we have an amazing story out of Florida. A guy who was naked and actively resting on the back of a shark. Can I put it that way?
Shark rape is what you're looking for.
Okay.
Actually, shark necrophilia, because the shark is dead, right?
It's bizarre, and unfortunately...
It's not really that bizarre.
A couple... Thank you, Jeffy. A couple of people are standing up and saying, by the way, that wasn't me. And they're famous people, and they look like the guy. And one of them is Jeff Fisher, but that's a different story.
The Shaggy defense being used here. It wasn't me. When you have a photo of him, I mean, usually that doesn't work.
It's really difficult. And I want to hear from you. We're going to start this hour with phone calls from you. 888-727-BECK. Oh, and Tim Allen. What's happened with Tim Allen? We get to that this hour. We begin right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let me go to Carol. Hello, Carol in Ohio. Yes. You're on the Glenn Beck Program.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you,
Thank
Carol?
You. I'm doing great. I'm sorry if you can hear some yelling. I'm at my daughter's egg drop day at school.
your daughter's egg drop?
Yeah, you know, you pack an egg, and then the teacher goes to the top of the building, and you try to make it so that when the egg gets thrown off the building, it doesn't crack.
Mm.
So you pack it in balloons. It's like a
Oh, okay. Egg. Yeah, okay. Good. How's your daughter doing?
Oh, she's doing great. She loves science.
Okay,
so
well,
it's a good day for her.
I don't know if that's science as much as that's violence, reflecting the white man being dropped off of the building onto tarmac. There's got to be some deeper psychological damage that we're all doing to our kids, but that's a different story. So, Carol, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to tell you, you asked earlier how to know if it's Stein or Steen.
Yes.
Well, I taught German. I taught German for 18 years.
Okay.
And I would have beginning German students, first-year German students, come into my class, and they'd be like, yeah, we want to learn German because the word die is in the language all the time. One of the articles for German is D-I-E, and it's pronounced actually D. So I made up a little rhyme, and it was, if the I and the E go a-walking, the second one does the talking. So if it's Stein, S-T-E-I-N, it's pronounced like an I, Stein.
I love this.
So if you ever...
I have wondered this my whole life, and I've never known. Is it Stein or Steen? I have no idea. So if the I and the E go walking, the second does the talking.
Correct.
That's brilliant.
That's brilliant.
Even if it's wrong, now, that's brilliant.
Well, I started to say, now, of course, some families, when they came over or whatever, you know, they could change the pronunciation or maybe even the spelling, but that's a general rule.
Okay, great. Thank you, Carol. I appreciate it. Godspeed on the egg drop. Let's go to Scott in Florida. Hello, Scott.
Hey, I'm in Nashville, actually. You're talking about Donald Trump and his early morning tweets.
Yeah.
That's actually a term. It's called poogling.
Poogling. So that would be sitting on the John while Googling would be poogling.
Exactly. Poogling.
Right. Poogling.
Yes, it's a cultural thing.
I love that. Educational talk.
Thank you. That's really good, because I think a lot of those tweets are poogle tweets. A lot of them. Let me go to Anthony in Michigan. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hey, I'm fantastic on this Friday morning.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
Good,
we're going to get back to traffic and weather on the 8s coming up in just
ahead,
a second,
Anthony.
In the next 4 minutes. Go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on your interview with Bill O'Reilly and contrast it with Lester Holt's interview.
Oh, bring it
you,
on.
You were not only welcoming but sounded collegial when you're talking with Bill. When Lester Holt was interviewing the president, he came across as challenging and combative. Not a good way to get a good interview.
What? Well... Yeah, well, Lester Holt, I mean, Jeffy, I mean, do you hear what Anthony is saying
I did hear what he was saying. But
he's taking your man on. Thank you, Anthony.
Quite a bit of information came out of that Donald Trump interview.
Yeah.
And Lester did about as good as you can do. He went into the lion's den, I might add.
Yeah.
And Donald
and
Trump
I was also not
out of the interview.
And
Trump
I'm also not doing a hard hitting interview.
Right.
I mean, if Bill will give me the hard hitting interview, I will do the hard hitting interview. But that's not what we had agreed to. So I wasn't doing the hard hitting interview.
Yeah, I mean, Holt, you got something out of that. I mean, he tried to push him on certain things.
Yeah, I thought he was friendly as appropriate and hard where he needed to be hard.
And I've heard reports that he's actually a Republican. Lester Holt, one of the rare Republicans
whoa,
in the media.
Whoa,
is that
whoa.
True, Jeffy? You'd
that
know
him. Cannot be true.
President of his fan club. You'd probably know that fact.
Cannot be true. He'd be burned as a heretic.
We can neither confirm or deny.
You have no idea, fanboy. Let me go to Dave. Hello, Dave. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hello, Dave. Okay, let me go to Sharon in Missouri. Is it Missouri or Mississippi? Missouri. Hello.
Mississippi.
Sorry. How are you?
Oh, hey, guys. Good morning. That was such a great interview with Bill. I have to tell you, I've missed his voice. I've missed his take on things. And I would love for you guys to get him on the Blaze.
So would I. I pay him in sandwiches.
So that's just my two cents on that. But, Glenn, I wanted to ask you something you were talking about a week or maybe two ago, about how there's this little blogger guy that was trying to get everybody to boycott Fox, the advertisers.
Yeah.
He couldn't get any traction in the United States, so he went to the British advertisers.
Yes, yeah, so he's now running Media Matters, is he not? Isn't he the Stop Beck guy? I think he's running, I could be wrong, but he's running one of the big ones. I think it's Media Matters. But go ahead.
Right. And, well, I can tell you this. I am I'm not going to boycott anybody, and neither are many of our family members and friends. But we have decided since we are the older generation and the money really resides in our pockets and our bank accounts, not in our children's, that we're going to be paying a lot of attention to who we support, who we spend our money with. Like I said, I'm not going to be boycotting anybody, but I am going to be paying attention to whether or not they appreciate my money.
Yeah, I will tell you this. Thanks, Sharon, for your phone call. I will tell you this. ABC is really, this is an interesting thing. Ben Sherwood is the head of ABC Television. He doesn't make all of these decisions, but Ben is a friend of mine. I know him. I really respect him. He's
a decent
guy. Doesn't hate, you know, Christians or the center of the country. I really think he understands all of that and appreciates it. And you know, one thing that I found amazing at the height of, you know, the Glenn Beck is the most hated man in the world. I was at a big television conference and everybody's were there. Here he is, the head of, you know, ABC Disney. And he sees me across the room. I see him. And one of my guys says, "You going to go say hi to Ben?" I'm like, "No, he's in a pack of, you know, all the big executives from all the big networks. I am not going to do that."
Do that to Ben.
I am not going to do that. Ben's a friend. I'm not going to impose myself on him in that circle. Ben looks over and he sees me. I'm across the room. He sees me. I see him say, "Excuse me." He walks over across the room and I start walking towards him. Halfway there, very crowded with all the IT people in LA, gives me a hug and says, and I, as I'm hugging him, I said, "Are you out of your mind?" And he said, "No, you're my friend." He's a really good guy. So I don't believe this stuff about ABC firing, getting rid of Tim Allen because of some, you know, we don't want Christians, we don't want the center of the country. That doesn't make sense in the first place. We looked at, what is that, you know, TV Gallows?
TV Grim Reaper.
Yeah, TV Grim Reaper. This guy's usually right about stuff, and he said the Tim Allen show was going to be brought back. It was, quote, on the bubble, but it's a really good performing show.
Look at this. Let me give you some basis to this. So this is a guy who does, it's a site that predicts whether shows will be canceled or not, and they do this all the time.
Don't you wish you could make money just doing that?
And it's based on, like, ratings and ratings that relative to the rest of the network. Also really intricate things like once you get to, I think it's season 5, you are more likely for syndication. So almost everyone renews everything when it gets past season 4.
Yeah,
they always get a fifth season.
Yeah, because you, if you get 10 seasons, you're in syndication for years and years and years and years.
Yeah, so they put all of that into a formula and come out with a percentage chance it's going to be renewed. So then they make a prediction. Will it be renewed or not? Listen to this record. This is from 2009. they were 63-11, 85% correct. 2010, 94% correct. 2011, 93%. 2012, 92%. 2013, 93%. 2014, 92%. 2015, 90%. So very accurate over a long period of time with this formula and the way they figured these things out. They run every year, and it's up on the site now, a final renewal cancellation prediction for every show on broadcast.
And do they do it by percentage of what?
Yes. How likely is it? For example, I'm just looking at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Is one that they missed with here. But they do miss, as I just said, about 90% right. They had it as a 35% renewal chance, and it was renewed. The Catch on ABC was a 45% chance to be renewed. It got canceled. American Crime, 25% chance to get renewed. It got canceled. The Real O'Neills, 15% chance to get renewed. It got canceled. Go up to the
top.
That's
actually pretty accurate still. I mean, okay.
All these are, you know, there's one miss in there, but they thought there was a good chance it would get, they would be wrong.
But not a huge chance.
Blackish, 100% chance it would be renewed, got renewed. Goldbergs, 99% chance it would get renewed, got renewed. Modern Family, 99% chance it would get renewed, got removed, renewed. Goes through all of these. Designated Survivor, 90% chance it would be renewed, got renewed. Last Man Standing, 90% chance it would be renewed, got canceled.
That's interesting.
The tweet from the site, this is, again, TV Grim Reaper, which I love, was, I would say that Last Man Standing was among the most surprising renewal prediction misses in the Reaper's history.
Wow.
Again, this is 90% accurate, and they miss occasionally, but when they think there's a 90% chance of it being renewed, it almost never is canceled. There's only one other show that I found this entire season that's even close. There's one 80% chance they thought would be renewed that was canceled. Now, it could just be that, you know, that one was also on Dr. Ken on ABC. So it's possible that maybe ABC is very cancel happy this season. I don't know. I mean, you can make excuses, but it is a standout for people who look at this thing for a living.
And it is also a standout for people who are looking for shows that relate to the center of the country. And quite honestly, if you're programming, you don't want to be just on the coasts. You don't want to be a network. You need to connect with the center of the country. This is a highly successful show on the worst night of the week. It's Friday night. Nobody's staying at home watching TV shows on Friday night. It's the worst show of the week. And it was only down 5%. Other shows that stayed were down 30%. It just doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't make sense for ABC to cancel it. But I will tell you, if I'm sitting in a room and I'm the network, there is something that I would sit at that table and say, guys, this show relates to the center of the country. This show relates like Roseanne did. This show relates to people in the country that disagree with our politics. We're having enough time getting people to think that we're not against them. Leave that show on. That's doing well. Even if it was doing worse, leave that show on. It helps us in the long run. It doesn't make any sense.
And I did read where, come to think, you mentioned Roseanne, that she's in talks for possible new show. So maybe she's just taking Tim Allen's place.
Well, I will tell you know why she's in talks. I mean, can you imagine? She's called for the execution, the beheadings, the literal, seriously, not joking, the beheadings of bankers. She is, if not a communist, the closest thing to a communist, and said some of the craziest things I have ever heard. The literal, non-joking calling on Russia TV for the beheadings of bankers. And that's not too extreme?
Nope.
That's not too extreme.
I do have to say, what you're talking about, kind of crazy media people, where the Roseanne thing, it reminded me of the Rosie thing that Trump tweeted, which actually was really funny to me. Did you see this?
No.
He tweeted, hey, finally, Rosie, you and I agree on something. And it was just a retweet of her saying, fire Comey.
That's very funny.
That was excellent.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, who are you?
727 Beck.
Seriously, who are you to judge if somebody wants to identify as a shark and falls in love on the back of their boat? Who are you to judge? We'll get into that story here just a second. It's insane. Also, the darker history to Mother's Day. It was not, this is not a happy story. Ends in an asylum. I'll give you that coming up in a second. Let me go to Dave in Florida. Hello, Dave. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you very much. That was a great interview with Bill O'Reilly.
Thank you.
I just think it just shows that there's a liberal, it's not really liberal, there's a status and progressive interest in destroying anyone they disagree with and silencing them, and they will stop at nothing. I've personally experienced this, and I just would ask you, continue to ask to dialogue with the left or the status, continue to try to dialogue, but in the end, you can't reason with them. All they want to do is destroy everyone they disagree with.
Okay, so let me tell you this. Dave, thank you. I found that to be many, many times true. However, Let me please direct you to On Being and Krista Tippett. Krista is she is a woman that I've started to talk to behind the scenes over the last year at NPR because we have a mutual friend, and she did an interview. I think it's like a 90-minute interview with me, and I don't trust anybody, and I generally don't listen. Yesterday, I started getting calls from people saying, have you heard the interview that you did on Being with NPR? I said, no, you need to. I'll tweet it out and Facebook it. This woman went the extra mile like no one has ever. She really tried to understand me. And she even went back and read some of my books to see who I was and to track it back. She was amazing. So just like I don't want to say that, you know, the Trump supporters are all, neo-Nazis. No, there's a few that are. Let's not throw everybody on the left into the you can't reason with them, because some of them you can. And hopefully some of us can be reasoned with as well. Thanks so much for your call. Linda in California. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you very much. I just wanted to thank you for the interview with Bill O'Reilly. I thought that you guys interacted beautifully. I used to love it when you were on his show.
Yeah, thank you.
And now that he was on your show, I just think, and you asked all the right questions, and you it was humorous, and yet it was serious. It was compelling.
Thank you very much, Linda. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll pass it on to Bill. He's probably, he's older, so he's probably out having an early bird dinner. got to get to bed here soon. But he's going to be joining us on Friday, next Friday. He'll be back next Friday in hour number two. In case you missed it, also listen to glennbeck.com.
Did he seem to not, he seemed to think that you didn't understand the media was bad generally?
Yeah, did you notice that?
He kept pushing you on that point. I'm like, you got to understand this. How can you not understand this? I think you do understand it.
I have to go back and look at the Fox broadcast because I think he used to always make fun of me about George Soros too.
Oh, probably.
I mean, I just to needle him. I just have to needle him. Thank you so much. Listen to that. We have a couple of really unbelievable stories that are in the news that, I shouldn't say this. You used to say there's no way that's true. Now you're like, huh, another one. A guy making love to a shark on a boat. Huh. And we'll get to that and the true history behind Mother's Day that you've never heard next.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mother's Day. How did it start? Mother's Day was an anti-war protest day. Don't know if you know that. Anna Jarvis, founder of Mother's Day. She was a little militant. In fact, after her death, I think there were like 34 lawsuits still going on trying to stop those evil Hallmark people and everybody who had tried to commercialize Mother's Day. She said, along with Woodrow Wilson, she was the mother of Mother's Day. It actually kind of started with Julia Ward Howard. She's the one who wrote Battle Hymn of the Republic. And right after the American Civil War, she said women should gather together in churches and social halls. Listen, and this isn't Mother's Day, listen to sermons, present essays, sing hymn, pray if they wished, all in the name of promoting peace. So that's the way it really kind of started. Then Anna Jarvis started her suffrage movement for Mother's Day, and she got Woodrow Wilson to pass it as an official day, but as an anti-war day. And on her press releases, she included any charity, institution, hospital, organization, or business using Mother's Day as a name, work, emblem, or celebration for getting money, making sales, or on printed forms should be held as imposters by proper authorities and reported to this association. So she was militant that you don't buy flowers, you don't buy chocolate, nothing. Mom is to go in the other room and pray for peace. Happy Mother's Day. Go listen to a sermon someplace. Write an essay, Mom. This is the one thing that I got out of the history of Mother's Day that I really like. I hate carnations. I think carnations suck. They are the, no, it's like put a piece of wheat, you know, in your lapel. I don't know why. I don't like them. I've got a thing against them.
It's weird.
Okay.
Really?
So that is the original flower of Mother's Day. And listen why. I think this is great. Now, remember, this is according to Anna Jarvis. So I guess you had to grow your own carnations because, God forbid, you went and bought one for Mother's Day. But it was for Anna Jarvis. She said, the carnation does not drop its petals, but hugs the petals to its heart as it dies. And so too mothers hug their children to their hearts, their mother's love never dying. I love that. Maybe it's just me, because I hate carnations and I'm never going to buy a bunch of them because I hate them. You get carnations from me, you guarantee I never sent them. Unless it's on Mother's Day, I may make an exception to the rule, but I will only buy from somebody who is not selling me those carnations. They just want to give them to me to promote peace. Enough said on Mother's Day.
Yeah, her story is really depressing, man.
Yeah, died in an asylum. She went nuts and it was really depressing.
Yeah, she really did. We have, that's kind of the same. It's a little bit of a different focus on that story for Wonderful World of Stew tonight. But about how, you know, she was so bitter. I mean, she went into restaurants and would buy the Mother's Day salad and just throw it on the floor and walk out.
She was nuts. She was nuts.
She really lost it.
But she was, you know, she was. You know, everything we learned about Helen Keller, lie.
Oh yeah,
it's just a lie. Right. She was an angry, bitter communist.
Yeah, we did a ruining your heroes on that.
And I want to thank you. Caused a stink with one of our big people in our museum tour because they have all the Helen Keller stuff. Oh, and they didn't like that because they're a fan of Helen Keller and choose to not look at the communist side of Helen Keller.
Truth has no agenda, Glenn.
I know. You didn't hear me say not to do it.
Just like, by the way, the man who...
actively resting on a shark.
Yes, that's maybe the way to put it.
Naked.
A big story today.
And the shark was naked too. The shark didn't have his pants on.
That's true. That was kind of a weird twist in the story. Yeah. But this guy is, there's a picture of him smiling at a camera, naked, laying on a shark, looking like he's making a, potentially a move on the shark. And the shark is dead, by the way. So it's doubly sick. I guess it seems like it might be a drunken boat photo, but somehow it's gone viral. And there are multiple people who look just like this man who are now having to answer it.
Yeah, who are now coming out with legitimate statements saying, this is not me.
Yeah, the founder of Jimmy John's, the sub company, restaurants, they are saying that. Because he does look, I mean,
you just don't want foot-long jokes. With that picture. So he's saying, that's not me.
That is not me.
That's not me. And coming out with a serious statement. I am not the naked guy, but it looks just like him.
It does look just like him.
And it's not a flattering picture of whoever took this was obviously wildly hammered. Because it's not a flattering picture. He is not a small, attractive guy. Nobody is looking at his picture. No lady is going, oh yeah, looking at this naked picture. It's not pretty.
It's hard to believe it's even real, but apparently the picture is real. It is not the Jimmy John's founder.
It is also not the coach of the Gators.
Right.
Florida Gators.
Head coach.
It's embarrassing that they're blaming it on these other people.
I mean,
really?
Yeah, it's embarrassing that they're blaming it on these
people. Is it the Florida Gators head coach, Jeffy, that is the other person?
I think so. It's the university. That's what the story
says. Yeah, I think it's
the Gators head coach.
Yeah,
and he apparently is also saying he's not.
Yeah, everybody's denying it, and it's embarrassing that they have to deny it.
Do I hear, is there a press conference coming?
I mean, there should be, and yeah, I'm willing to do
one. Can we get the press in here, please? Could you go ahead, let the press come on here. I guess we have an impromptu press conference here. Yes, Mr. Jeff Fisher.
Hello?
Yes.
Are we on?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you all for coming. I called for this so that we can get this whole shark humping conspiracy behind us.
I don't think anybody was claiming that it was a...
My name is Jeff Fisher. Mm-hmm. A little over a week ago, the British animal rights advocate and TV presenter, Aneka Savenska, started this furor on when she tweeted the image with a call to find him and ask him why he did this. Where is the humor in humiliating slaughtered animals? I would like to say that it's me in the picture, and I'm not humping the shark.
Right. What?
Not that there's anything wrong with that. I was drunk fishing in the Gulf of Mexico. Excuse me. Caught the shark, slipped and fell on it. Captain laughingly took a photo, which I don't even remember, and then passed out on the shark.
All right, can we ask a question?
How this animal rights advocate came across this photo, we may never know. But the hurt and blaming and guessing of who is on the shark has got to stop. It was me. Just a weekend of naked fishing in the ocean. Thank you. That's all.
May I ask Mr. Fisher?
I don't really want to take questions,
Mr. Fisher,
just one question.
Do you normally naked fish? Is there a reason that you fish naked all the time? And if so, how come the place where your pants are supposed to be in the picture is very, very white and the rest of you is very, very sunburned?
Well, now, I don't know that I really want to answer this.
Right.
But
I'm thinking to myself, I don't want you to answer this. So I think we're just going to leave it at
that press conference right there.
Thank you very much. We got that out. Okay, good.
Can I ask one more question? I'm Representative Breitbart. Just wanted to ask you. is the reason the fish is dead to actually protect in a humane act from the fish having to see your body?
That's not even funny. Thanks for asking. That was a serious question.
I'd like to back up. Thank you, reporter from Breitbart. That was a very good question. All right. Back with another story that you need to hear that a couple of people have tried to convince us is absolutely true. And it just takes you a couple of minutes to realize it is absolutely not true. But it's going to be going around the internet this weekend and you should know about it. We'll get that to you here coming up in just a second.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Okay. All right. Last story that we could get to today, and we may have to revisit this one on Monday because this is just amazing. In Benson, Arizona, public service announcement that references... photos of naked juveniles has been causing controversy among Benson, Arizona residents. The PSA has aired on the Cave 97.7 FM, according to station manager Paul Lotsov. Now, the first thing I think of is lots of what?
Lots of child porn.
Yes, mm-hmm. Lots of child porn. Mm-hmm. This thing is reeking of scam.
Yeah.
Just total hoax. Okay? Mm-hmm. Nobody put me up to this. Nobody paid. My feeling is these people don't deserve life in prison just because they have pictures of naked juveniles.
But we should listen to the audio.
Here's the actual quote PSA actually aired, captured by somebody who just held their phone up to the car speaker as it was being aired on Cave FM. Listen.
In many cases, the penalty for possession of pictures is worse than the penalty for murder. You should understand that your internet provider could report you to the police if they catch you looking at a website featuring naked juveniles. The police then enter your house and seize your computer. If you have such material, you can save yourself and your family a ton of grief and save the taxpayers of Arizona a lot of money by never storing such pictures on the hard drive of your computer. Always use an external drive and hide it where nobody will ever find it. Likewise, never keep paper pictures tapes or films of naked juveniles where anyone else can find them. A public service message from the Cave 97.7 FM.
Now, come on. There's no way that's real.
Chance.
It's being reported by major news sources all across the country.
Possible?
So to give you the basis, they are saying it's real. There is a website for this radio station, apparently, that does not look at all real to me. It looks like it was designed in like 1981.
No, it looks like Craig Brady. I mean, Chris Brady is one of our guys who made the original GlennBeck.com. He used to do stuff like this at 3 o'clock in the morning just to screw with people.
And that is exactly what it looks like.
Yes.
They've written an extensive op-ed responding to the controversy, saying that, look, I'm not saying you should have child porn, but come on. Like, I mean, you know, he rants on about the guardians of public morals. Listen to what he's. If you couldn't hear the ad, he says, if you have such material, child porn,
don't put it on your hard drive.
Make sure you store it on an external drive and hide it in a place where no one can find it.
There's just no way. Taxpayers' money. Come on. It can't be real. Okay, so now here's the thing. With that being said, there was a guy that we were going to have on at Fox. And if you remember this, he sat down right before. I'd never met the guy, knew nothing about him. And he said, oh, been a tough day. I just got back from visiting a friend in prison. And, you know, that's not the way usually people start a conversation. And I said,
well, most people.
Yeah. I said, oh, what was he in prison for? And he said, oh, you know, this country is so out of control. They have, you know, he had child porn on his hard drive. Like, that's a big deal. Like, you go to prison for that. And I went, hang on just a second.
Tiffany, we're going to need another guest because this guy's got to go.
Okay. He didn't make it on the air. What a surprise. Hello? So there are people that actually are walking among us who do believe that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but you're not running.
I don't know. He says in the op-ed, in the second half of my message, I suggested that if for any reason a person has such material, he take measures to prevent having to spend years behind bars. For about 2 years, it ran,
no
one complained.
No way. Well, occasional complaint. Cave FM. So,
right.
I mean, look, if I played, do you remember WLNG in Long Island?
I do.
Okay.
I love them.
I used to listen to WLNG all the time when I lived in New York. It's this little Long Island station that is privately owned, that is doing radio literally like time stopped in 1971. And not like a parody, not like, hey, can we make it like literally everyone who was there in 1968, 1971 is still there doing exactly the same way, the same thing. I mean, it's amazing. It is so bad, you think it's a parody. So, I mean, if I would have given you a tape of WLNG, you would have gone, no way.
Because it doesn't seem like it would possibly exist in today's media. However, this is another story.
Right. Do not pass this story on, because there's no way this is true. But we will do our homework over the weekend, and we will come and bring you the evidence of Cave FM. Hide your pedophile porn in Cave FM.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.